brothers, we're 10 years in, and we've reflected a little bit of that on the video. And we want to debrief on the day and think back on 10 years. And CJ, you and I were having a conversation this morning about how at every T4G, there have been different messages that struck us immediately, and then some messages that fueled long-term ministry. And it's been somebody different every time. We want to encourage pastors now, but we want to inform their ministries long-term. You want to reflect about that a little bit?
I'll attempt to, yeah. I think, yeah, definitely two categories. Messages at each T4G that have this immediate felt impact. And then messages that seem to have more the future in view. And I think guys feel the impact months and years to come. And then I add a third category. I think there are messages that affect us in the moment and have an enduring effect as well. So I think what Mark preached on this morning affected us in the moment, but it's also a message that every pastor here is going to be feeling the effect of 1, 2, 3, 5 years from now. As a matter of fact, I would recommend pastors listen to that message every 4 to 6 months.
That's so good.
Mark? I don't recall, I'm sure I'd seen that video review before, but I'm not recalling it. But Al, when it came up with your, we think we have an outer problem and an inner answer, but really the problem is really we've got an inner problem, there's an outer, an alien answer. You said that at the very first T4G, brother. It's it didn't change my theology, but it was one of those phrases that was so carefully worked. I use that probably once a month for 10 years now. So that's the gift that keeps on giving, brother.
I've quoted you dozens of times on that. Absolutely. It's so true.
Well, I look at that video and I think, brothers, one of us at least is 10 years older.
Well, it's been a rough 10 years, Al. What can I say?
No, I mean, I say that with gratitude. I mean,
good for you.
I mean, I'm 56 years old. How many decades have I got, you know? And to think that one decade has been spent with the blessings, I mean, of you friends that we with this conference, I mean, that's a significant portion of life. And I just want to stop and say, thanks to God. I am so thankful.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Well said. Amen.
I was also reminded, Ligon, of the sermon you preached not last time, but that was really good. But the time before that, maybe even better, when you took us to Elijah. And I, knowing you, brother, I know some of the things the Lord had been doing in your own life. And that came out so well in that sermon. So if you're new to the T4G sermons, you want to climb back to that one they took the clip from 2012 with Ligon on Elijah. And if you like the kind of thing that CJ's saying from mine this morning, it's on steroids in that thing, man.
Can I come back on that for just a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been looking at, again, just some of the after effect of Calvin's ministry in Geneva. And one of the things the student said was that he was great and faithful and powerful when he preached the New Testament, but nobody preached the Old Testament like he did. And I'll be honest, that's the way I think of my brother Ligon. I'm happy to hear him preach anything.
Well said.
But when he preaches the Old Testament, oh my goodness.
That's well said.
You preach it like a Christian, brother.
Thank you.
And Decker says of Calvin's sermons on Job that that's where his pastoral pulse is most pronounced. And those sermons are unedited. So you'll find that pastoral pulse in those sermons in the Old Testament in a way you won't in the Institutes.
See, that's just your inner Southern Baptist, the alliteration. Pastoral pulse. The perfect priority of the pastoral pulse.
I don't think I have any inner Southern Baptist. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
It's just aching to get out.
Kevin DeYoung's message today, even more helpful to me than the excellent message 2 times ago on holiness. And the especially those final 3 points, and brother,
from
the
first
second
John.
Of those final 3 points, personally convicting, extremely clear, helpful, really important for every pastor in this room to think over, think through, go back and listen to that one again, because and it gets back to the thing that John just barely hinted at tonight about being Bible people. Don't
don't try and cut edges and corners off of texts with elbows.
Yeah,
let those texts have their elbows and bang your head against those texts and be faithful to those texts. That's really important for us, not to use slogans or even the word the gospel to keep us from paying attention to where the text is pushing us to in bringing it home to our people. That was incredibly important to me today.
Yep. Don't soften the imperatives.
Right. I think both John's message tonight and Kevin's earlier today were examples of how doctrine is so important for us as pastors. Sometimes I think we act like checklists. Yeah, this is basic. Everybody knows this. But when you grab a basic doctrine like holiness or depravity and you stare at it, you begin to see why it's so important.
Yes.
And it's going to be important for people sitting in your congregation in ways that you don't even think initially when you're working on the message. But it's God's truth. He has a purpose for it. So, you know, John's been a great example for us of this, of just taking something and staring at it, when I think at least I personally don't often have the patience to do that or enough have the patience to do that. But it blesses our congregations.
Yeah.
And I hope you brothers both preach like that at church. And I'm thankful for every time I hear a message like that in church.
So when John is preaching tonight, he has a way of saying things in such a way that I just think, yeah, well, that was obvious. Except it wasn't until you said it that way. And one of those things was, I mean, I'm sitting there listening to him preach, and he exhorted preachers. He said, don't just preach about the new freedom in Christ.
That's right.
And
which fit
the whole
perfectly with Kevin's message.
Well, the other thing I was thinking of is, oh my goodness, we'd have to take most of the hymns of testimony out of the scripture if we're only supposed to preach about our new freedom in Christ. I'm just sitting there thinking, almost every gospel hymn I know is more about
the trials.
Exactly, and more about how lost I was before God saved me in Christ.
Yep. Yeah, and the practical benefit of what John was preaching, that there is no such thing as a boring testimony. So, yes, my conversion could appear to be more dramatic. Yes, I remember that moment. I was in tears as you were preaching, as I reflected back on that moment. I, sadly and to my shame, I loved sin with all my heart. And sadly and to my shame, I sought to recruit others to participate in sin. And the only explanation for the transformation in my life is the proclamation of the gospel that occurred when a friend shared the gospel with me, and God clearly acted on my heart, and my life was immediately, not gradually, immediately, dramatically changed. But I noticed that when I would share my testimony, then I would always be hearing from people afterward who grew up in a church context, can't clearly remember the moment of their conversion, envied me for having a dramatic testimony. This is not right. And actually, I would say, if anything, those converted earlier in life should be more grateful and more amazed by grace, and they will be if they study the doctrine of sin as John taught it tonight, not less amazed by grace. I envy you, John, for being converted at 6. God protected you from so much sin that I committed over the years. So there is no such thing as a boring testimony, because there's no miracle greater than the miracle of regeneration.
Amen. Amen.
John's point as well, when he paused and he said, don't care whether Luther said this, don't care whether Piper said this, does
don't
the Bible
give a rip.
Say this?
Yeah.
I'm a confessional Calvinist, and I think it's good to be confessional in your theology, and I won't get in an argument why, but when John said that, I was reminded again of a statement that I heard Sinclair Ferguson make a number of years ago. We don't want our people to believe a doctrine because they read it in Burkhoff. We want them to believe it because they saw it in their Bibles.
Amen. Absolutely.
And the effect that it will have on their hearts and lives because they saw it in the Bible makes a profound difference as to whether they've simply read it in Burkhoff or seen it in their Bibles. Yeah. And that, John, you reminded me of that again tonight. And all of us ought to teach that way. Our people ought to be persuaded that it came from the Bible.
Absolutely.
So thank you, brother.
Amen. Yep. Amen. Thinking of the 10 years, CJ, one of the things that I think the Lord has done with you in this conference is again and again help to ground us practically in Christian experience. As you know from the times when the four of us just hung out and talked, while we do talk about Christian experience, we can get lost in a lot of other things as well. And you are faithful to just bring us back again and again, and that's one of the roles you've had in this conference over the years. Just again and again, speaking to the pastor's heart. You sometimes pan it off, or you used to, maybe you've grown out of it. Pan it off as you're just the ordinary pastor, you know, which is, brother, I wouldn't put it like that at all. But you again and again have been used of the Lord to speak very practically to our own hearts and experience, as you did yesterday
from Joe. But Mark, again, CJ's message yesterday, yours today, yours was profoundly encouraging to pastors.
Yes.
And so you were not only convicting us of temptations that we might succumb to or may have already succumbed to, you were ministering remarkable encouragements to us along the way. It was the most encouraging message that you have preached in our time together in Together Praise for the God. Gospel. And you have preached many encouraging messages, brother.
Praise God. Thank you.
And I know, I was watching the Twitter feed, I was talking to people in the break, and I heard so many pastors saying, you know, Mark Dever is wrecking my soul right now with encouragement.
Excellent.
So thank you
Excellent.
For your faithfulness in that
Excellent.
Area.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep. And one of the many things as I was taking notes that I was affected by, I just wrote here the metaphors in Scripture, they're taken from the world of agriculture. Hmm. And that actually, if you're a pastor, you really should be hanging out with farmers. And
we got a farm couple from our church that's here as volunteers.
Yeah,
Chris
yeah.
and Beth, there you go.
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah.
Because
it's
a sowing reaping. So you're not studying CEOs. You should be studying a different world. And you brought that perspective to our souls, which then does just encourage you and give you hope for pastor and joy in pastoral ministry.
Al, we're 10 years into this. Mm-hmm. Any words of counsel to us? We've walked a long way. We've walked through a lot.
I think we ought to share with our friends. We didn't premeditate this conversation. No. CJ's got notes.
Yes. Well, I think those are notes from the sermons.
Yeah. I've got notes, yeah.
Folks,
that's because,
if that's the conversation,
that's because
we're
I'm
be
the
here
dumbest
a while.
Guy sitting here. That's why. I will not apologize for my notes.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. Never apologize for notes. Yeah.
No,
but
I
didn't know you were going to ask
the
question.
You don't need notes because you have world-class heads that are just discouraging. You remember everything you read
I'm sorry I brought up
third notes. Grade.
I'm sorry. I repent.
You have a photographic memory, and you shouldn't make me feel guilty because I don't.
I don't. I don't.
Okay?
Obviously, we didn't know what we were going to talk
this.
About.
Let me do this. I am an athlete.
There you go. Fair enough.
How's that making you feel right now, okay? That's what I feel like when you say, he's got notes.
Unathletic.
Gosh, I feel like such an idiot. Why is that? Because you are an idiot.
I think answering Link's question.
Yeah.
I think we ought to
make
share
my way off
with our
the stage
brothers.
Right now.
Let's get back on track.
Yeah.
Get back on track.
And we got John Piper sitting right there. What's wrong with this picture? I'm here, mocked for notes, and John Piper sitting down there, not participating in this panel.
I think we ought to share with our friends the fact that one of the things we pledge our friendship to is finishing together.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's 10 years later, but by God's grace, the race is not over yet. And I just don't think we're going to make it to the end alone. I think we need friends to get there. And I do. So thank you. And let's just, again, publicly say we're committed to see this through.
Amen.
Yes, amen. By God's grace.
Yeah.
I think... I think one of the ways that we've tried to manifest that is in this conference is not by just inviting lots of different speakers every time.
Right.
But, you know, Thabiti and David and Kevin and John and Matt.
An important point about that.
Yeah.
At the first T4G, first, John MacArthur came to talk about nearly 40 years in the pastoral ministry.
Yeah.
Add 10.
Yeah.
Nearly 50 years
yeah.
in the pastoral ministry in one place. Mm. That's a long faithfulness.
But I think by God's grace, those friendships hopefully are encouraging to others because there is that strain of thinking about out there about being a pastor. You just kind of go it alone. Mm-hmm. You know, you're the leader. You're the one. You're the man in the church, and it's kind of lonely up on the top of the mountain. And that's not a good way. I mean, if we can think of 10 years ago, we turn the clock back. There are a lot of guys in the Christian ministry then that aren't in the Christian ministry now, 10 years later.
And not all of them, thanks be to God, have flamed out in a moral crisis.
That's right.
Some have just puttered out.
Yeah, yeah.
They just lost heart.
Yeah.
That's a tragedy.
Yeah. But I think the friendships that we've had here with not just us, but then these other brothers have been part of the things that help us go on. Yeah. And stay on track and be fresh and keep learning. I mean, even tonight at dinner, we were, would we call that arguing? We were discussing.
It was lively.
We were having a lively discussion.
Yeah. Among friends.
Among friends.
Lively.
And it wasn't like one side versus another side. It was like the question was thrown out there, and there were like 10 different or six or seven anyway, different sort of takes on it as we're trying to get our minds around it. And Lord willing, we'll keep that going tomorrow at lunch.
Yeah. Well, yeah, explain what takes place each January over a three-day period, because you devote a segment of time for each guy to share an update on how goes it, not just in ministry, but with one's soul.
Yeah, we at that time together, we come and we share just very specifically trials, temptations, joys, hopes,
sins,
how our family's doing, how things are going at church or at school.
We need to say that means an hour or more for each one of us.
Oh, unhurried
time. We're not talking about a quick thumbs up, thumbs down. We're talking this is where we talked last year. Where are you on this now?
Right. Well, because when we're just talking together, there's nobody whose job depends on us in the room. Mm. We're just talking to each other.
Right.
And so, and we've been talking for so long now because we do it every year, people have... We've heard each other, and we know what to return to. Hey, Lig, you told us about this. Mm-hmm. How's this going?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and it's so useful for my soul. It's not efficient. It's long conversations, but it's wonderful.
Yep.
Well, it sparks conversations throughout the year as well.
That's
I'll
true.
Run into you somewhere, and you'll immediately ask, how's so-and-so going?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Mark, you've been investing yourself in pastors for 10 years. This is just one of the ways.
They sensed there was a moment that nobody had clear direction. They're perceptive.
I think it's going well. And when we mentioned Colin Hansen earlier, Colin, are you in the room this time? Well, he's out there networking all around T4G. But I think there was a utility to the way God in his providence used that article in CT after the 2006 conference to help do exactly what we had prayed initially would happen, to catalyze a movement among pastors.
Yep.
And we should be thankful for that. It was way out of our control. We didn't do that. We didn't plant that.
You know, I had to think tonight because I happened to have a conversation about the media, and I wonder what it would be like, because it has happened today, to have a reporter that didn't know anything about us come in here. And I think they're expecting, I think they wonder, where's the smoke machine? Where's the band?
Bob, stand up. There's our band right
that's
there,
right.
brother.
We got,
there's our band, Bob Coughlin, ladies
right,
and gentlemen.
That's right. We've got a piano player and a piano that's going to need serious repair when he's done with it.
Yes, amen.
And,
and
all the glory to God, we're
piano.
Singing
that's
old
right.
songs, like I said last night. You know, you just I think we just need to remind ourselves, this isn't normal in terms of the world around us, nor in terms of what a lot of people would think Christians do when we get in a room. Mm. I think it's normal when you look at what pastors faithfully throughout the years would have done if they got in a room.